What's up, freaks? It's your boy Marty here to introduce this Rip of Rabbit Hole recap. What number was this? 295? 240. 240. I'm way off. I'm getting TFTC and Rabbit Hole recap mixed here. We're at like 395 on TFTC. 240. Rabbit Hole recap. Good rip. Logan, what'd you think?
Great rip.
That seemed very disingenuous. I don't appreciate it. What did you really think?
I thought it was actually a good rip.
Are you sure?
I'm having a good day.
Okay. Logan's extra chipper today. The acid rain clouds are not raining on his parade. It's good to know.
They're going to Canada.
Yeah, they're going to Canada. We got a weather report from my dad this week, freaks. What'd you think of that?
What I think?
Yeah.
I was glad to know the acid's going to Canada.
If you're looking for a local Philly weather report, you're going to want to listen to this rip. It was brought to you by your good friends at Unchained Capital. I'm pointing that way because that's where their offices are, right down the hall from me here in the Bitcoin Commons in Austin, Texas. Unchained is a company that is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody model. This is manifested with their Vault product, which is a 2 or 3 multi-sig vault in which you hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. Since you have those 2 keys, you have control of your Bitcoin in the vault. But if you're ever in a pinch and need Unchained to be the second signature in the 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum, they are there for you. They have a concierge team that's going to get you onboarded onto this product. Go to unchained.com/concierge. Set up a consultation with their team. They'll explain what multi-sig is to you, what Unchained is, why they exist, how their vault works. They'll get you hardware wallets, teach you how to set them up, walk you through that process, teach you how to back them up, how to geographically distribute them so you eliminate single points of failure in your backup model. And then they'll onboard you. You get a vault set up, and then you can do cool things with it. You put Bitcoin in it. They have a trading desk. If you want to buy Bitcoin, send it directly to the vault. You can do that through Unchained as well. They have an IRA where you can hold the keys to your IRA in this multi-sig quorum in this fashion as well. So if you want to transition your fiat cuckbuck IRA into Bitcoin, Unchained makes that easy as well. Go to unchained.com/concierge, set up a concierge consultation. They'll teach you about the vault and everything else. Tell them the TFTC sent you. You get $50 off that concierge service. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make this thing right here, this cool ass thing, the Block Clock. It's the Block Clock Mini. The original OG Block Clock is much bigger. They have a Block Clock Micro as well. But most importantly, they make Bitcoin security products. These things are just cool gadgets. They have hardware wallets that actually secure your Bitcoin, and they're most secure wallets on the market. They have the MK4, which allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an air-gap fashion. You can easily add entropy to your private keys by rolling dice. It uses 2 secure elements, so a bit of redundancy there. Again, it's fully air-gapped. They just released pre-order for the Q1, which is uses the same internal guts as the MK4, but you get more functionality. Sort of looks like a BlackBerry. You get a full keyboard, a QWERTY keyboard. You get QR scanning on that device too. It comes with a nice flashlight, more robust as well. So if you want to pre-order the Q1, I think it's called the Q1 because of the QR code that's enabled, and the QR scanner that's enabled with it. Go to CoinKite.com, find the Q1 pre-orders, sign up for those. They also have tap signer, sats card tap signers, a private key and a form factor, NFC enabled sats cards, iteration on the open dime. Again, another card form factor, NFC enabled. You tap it on the back of your phone, click the link, load up the sats, hand off the card. It's a bearer instrument. It's a beautiful thing. CoinKite.com. Still don't know if we have a referral link. Just try RHR, TFTC, Citadel Dispatch. Though that seems too long. Maybe CTDP. I don't know. CDP. CD. Try CD. TFTC RHR. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Silent Link. Go to silent.link/. Okay. It's forward slash. Why do I keep saying backslash? It's silent.link/RHR. I said slash again. You're going to get $2 off if you use that code. And what is Silent Link? It allows you to easily and anonymously buy phone numbers. So if you want to get a global mobile 4G, 5G internet access on a burner phone, and burner phone numbers, excuse me, instantly and privately on any modern eSIM compatible smartphone. You go to silent.link/RHR. They have different tiers. You can get a US identity, UK identity. Most importantly, you can pay in Bitcoin, on-chain, Lightning, whatever your little heart desires. silent.link/RHR. Enjoy this rip, freaks. Love all y'all. You're all hot, no matter what anybody tells you. Remember that. Enjoy. Decay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, doggy. Friday coffee rip. Matt's in a log cabin. We're almost wearing the same exact outfit. Luckily, I didn't wear that sweatshirt today.
Different sweatshirts. Well, I have no choice because when I travel now, I do like super minimalist. I don't really bring many clothes with me. So I like choose which hat is going to be my travel hat for that trip or whatever. And so this is the only hat I have with me of my entire hat collection. This is the only sweatshirt I have with me. I'm wearing like one of two pairs of pants. Very low key.
You're the Ty Detmer of Bitcoin podcasting.
I don't know that reference.
Ty Detmer was the
I'm
Eagles.
I'm gonna take it as a compliment.
He was the Eagles' backup quarterback.
Oh,
for
dude,
quite a while.
I'm sorry for your loss, man. I'm so sorry for your loss. That's really, really just horrible to see.
It was a tough one. Well, if you listen to the shout out, I was actually from last week. I was actually cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs, so it was a good win for us.
I may or may not have won sats on that game.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Nice to know that you're betting.
No DLCs involved.
It was rigged. You see the field?
Yeah, it was it was pretty fucked up, the calls at the end. Like, you hate to see refs make a game.
Yeah.
But if they're going to do it against anyone, at least it was the Eagles.
Life goes on.
I was watching it with a diehard Eagles fan, and let's just say that it was pretty sad to watch him watch it.
You know, I was butt mad for like 5 minutes, and then went and sat by my fire in the backyard, and all was well. Can't get too emotional about the sports.
Bread and circuses. I'm a sucker for the bread and circuses. At least I'm aware that that's what they are.
Yeah, you have to be able to watch them with the lens of knowing what they are. The satanic halftime rituals and all that. You gotta keep your eye on it. Just see what's going on. It's been a crazy week. A lot going on in the world outside of Bitcoin. Balloons getting shot down. Trains getting derailed. Chemicals spilling into the atmosphere.
Dude, fucking A, man.
It's just weird.
Why'd they light that shit on fire?
I don't know.
I went into a massive rabbit hole of like prevailing winds and like river flows and shit.
Yeah, people are freaking out, rightly so.
I mean, it's an important reminder of how important it is to have secure water supply, but it's really hard to plan for poison rain.
Yeah, it seems like that's flowing northeast up into Canada.
Yeah, right to Philly.
No, Philly's gonna. Luckily it's above Philly. It's missing Philly and Jersey, but hitting like northern New York and Canada. Yeah, it's really messed up. I'm not gonna pretend to know what's going on. If I had to guess, it's probably a consequence of our crumbling infrastructure, the fact that we have not maintenance the railroads as much as they probably should have been, but Yeah, I mean, there's, I'm not going to judge. Like, the theory is that the people who own the railroad or the train just, like, forced it to go through, and then they blew it up because they wanted more trains to go through the railroad. Who knows? All I do know is that there is a chemical disaster happening in the northeast section of this country.
They basically manufactured acid rain by lighting it on fire.
Yeah. Less than a weekend. We'll see what happens there.
We didn't even have that on the list. But no. Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy.
That, it was just weird. You had that, and maybe it was just confirmation bias. I mean, many people came out and were like, holy crap, I can't believe this train derailed. And then others were like, actually, this is pretty common. There's probably like 1,300 train derailments a year. But then, like, immediately after that, again, maybe it was confirmation bias. The news just highlighting other train derailments that happen throughout the week. One down here in Texas, one in South Carolina. There were some trucks that fell over in Arizona and were spewing toxic waste. Apparently, we were shooting down UFOs at the same time. The simulation.
Did you see, like, there was, like, an Illinois weather club that said, like, yes, one of the balloons that was shot down was their own?
Yeah, they used a million-dollar missile to shoot down an $80 balloon.
But then there was another report that said, like, it was a Chinese drone that could travel at Mach 5.
Yeah, I saw that, too. Yeah, some weird propulsion
Mach
system.
Mach 5 is really fucking fast. 5 times the speed of sound.
That's what Tom Cruise hit in Maverick. If you've seen that movie, it's a good one.
Opening the scene. New one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Did he go 0.3 over Mach 10?
Oh, he went over Mach 10.
Yeah.
Not a documentary.
And then his plane, something.
And he fell to Earth.
Yeah, he blew up the plane, right? And it was like the opening scene.
Yeah, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Top Gun. That's what happens.
Yeah, sorry. It's fine. It's like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, a lot going on this week. I don't even want to focus on, we could go deep Marty Jones down those rabbit holes, but honestly, I don't have any grasp on reality.
Well, no, I would say,
on there.
Other I would say, actionable advice. First of all, read The Mandibles. Because this was like chapter 26. The second thing is water filters, right? Me and Marty both really like the Berkey water filter. It's like this nice stainless steel gravity fed water filter. Like even my dogs drink out of the Berkey. But yeah, secure water supply. Like that's like the, I mean, train derailments, crumbling infrastructure, all that is horrible to see, and we're going to keep seeing it. But ultimately, humans can't live without water. So you need to secure your family's water. So look into water filters.
I like the Berkey. And if you're going to get a water filter and you like ice as a complement to the liquids that you drink, you're going to want to get an ice maker, too, that uses that filtered water. My family acquired one of those recently. And, it just felt weird to me getting ice from the fridge. Then pouring it into a cup with filtered water. You're mixing.
Well, you know what the real pro move is, Marty? I'm currently looking into whole home water filters. So like the line, the water
reverse
coming
osmosis
into the home. Yeah, that's where if you filter that, then even because like you don't want like acid coming out of your shower either.
Yes. That's a good point.
Like all that shit. So. Freaks, if you have any recommendations on whole home water filters, I'm about to spend a bunch of sats on one, so hit me up. It would be appreciated. The other thing I wanted to cover before we started was this is usually when we do sponsorship deals, supporter deals for Rabbit Hole Recap, we do on a multi-episode basis. This week is brought to you by silent.link, just a single episode deal, because he couldn't really, you know, afford a longer ad run. But if you freaks know silent.link, I had him on Dispatch, It's this Bitcoiner who runs a eSIM service. No KYC, you get an eSIM. It downloads right to your phone, you get a phone number. And he is giving a discount to all of you if you go to silent.link/RHR. But before you do that, I suggest you listen to the Dispatch. We had a great conversation a couple months ago. But just huge shout out to him for supporting the show. We want to have more no KYC sponsors, so we're really happy to have him on board.
Silent.link/RHR.
Correct. And then you get a discount.
That is what we in the biz call a mid-roll.
It's like a pre-mid-roll.
Pre-mid-roll. Yeah. Very happy to have Silent Link on board for this rip. It's going to be a good one.
Hopefully he'll join us for more. Yes. If you freaks actually use the service, he might. But I've used it. It's fucking awesome. You do have some honeypot risk. But yeah, like I said, listen to the full episode because we go into it. I ask him straight up if he's a spook. He said no.
You're known for doing that too. These
gotta ask.
Privacy service providers.
Yeah, we did it with IVPN and we did it with Silent Link. You got to do our due diligence beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, we can. I mean, we could opine on the craziness in the outside world for many hours, I imagine, whether it be balloons, train derailments, chicken eggs. We talked about butt nuggets a couple weeks ago, but there's a lot going on in the Bitcoin world. We're going to focus on that this week, and we'll start by opening Clark's dashboard and going through the stats. The current price of Bitcoin is 24,425 cuck bucks. One cuck buck is going to get you 4,094 sats. Number go down on sats per cuck buck. Market capitalization is approaching half a trillion dollars at $471.2 billion or cuck bucks, whatever you like to use. We're currently at block height 777,031. That means we are 746 blocks away from our favorite palindrome block, the next palindrome block, 777,777. So that should happen this week between now and next rabbit hole recap. So that's going to be exciting. I hope I'm up for it. I might have to set my alarm if I'm not going to be up for it. Somebody in the live chat, get us an expected time and date for the next palindrome block. We are
currently, Jevy, just call him like a half an hour before.
Jevy DM me a half an hour before the last palindrome block.
But he should call you just in case you're sleeping.
Yes. You have my number, Jevy. I think you do. All-time high hash rate right now, currently sitting above 300 exahash, or actually the last difficulty retarget, they were measuring exahash around 301.1 exahash. We had a downward adjustment since last week of 0.5%. We are currently 1,145 blocks away from the next adjustment, which is estimated to be exactly a week from today on February 24th, 2023. Right now, blocks are coming in fast. We're looking at an upward adjustment of 12.3%. Blocks have been coming in at 8 minutes and 55 seconds on average since the last adjustment, which was just under 1,000 blocks ago. Not just under, but less than 1,000 blocks ago. There are currently 9,279 transactions in Clark's mempool. Fee pressure is beginning to rise. If you're looking to get a transaction into the next block, you're probably going to want to attach a fee of 20 sats per V-byte to that transaction. There's currently 6,706.4 Bitcoin.
Marty.
What?
Marty.
What? I'm in a groove here.
Do you think mempools will ever clear again?
I do. I think Vivek's going to win that bet with you.
I have a bet with Finch. Vivek hasn't actually ponied up any sats. Do you want to bet?
What timeline are we looking at?
End of year, mempools won't clear again.
Pulling up mempool.space. Currently 59 blocks potential blocks in the mempool.
There's an infinite demand for degens and Bitcoin block space. Not infinite, but near infinite.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a fad. I think it'll die out by the summer. We're sitting in February. 100K sats? I'll do 100K sats end of year. Yeah.
And like December 31st.
Yes. Bet made at block 777,031.
You heard it here first, freaks. This time is different. Mempools will never clear again. I know I said it last time and the time before that as well. I'm innately aware of that, but
yeah, we're gonna get to the summer doldrums around August. Everybody's gonna be on vacation.
Nah, and they're just gonna keep being. Nobody's gonna keep minting their NFTs.
Yeah, August mempool clear. Heard it here first. Heard it here first.
You want to bet on August too?
No.
You want to double down?
No, I already made one bet. I'm good for one bet an episode.
I'll give you odds on August.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
As I was saying, there are currently 6,706.4 Bitcoin in unspent capacity in Samurai's Whirlpool. That's 163.8 million cuckbucks worth of unspent value. That's all we got for the dashboard today. A little price pump. Bear market over? Have we hit the lows for the year? That's another bet. Maybe I will make two bets this rip.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to take the other side of that.
Okay. Oh, so you're
what side are you on that we've already hit the lows?
I think the lows are in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's consensus.
Yeah.
Definitely not taking that bet. Yeah.
What do you think's happening?
Oh, I mean, I wonder, my narrative is a flight from stablecoins, because stablecoins are inherently unstable and can go to zero at any moment. And a lot of us have been saying this for a long time, but now that there's more pressure on them from the U.S. government, which was always their biggest threat, was the U.S. government and the long arm of FinCEN. And but I mean, the SEC is going after them right now, which I kind of didn't expect that it was going to be securities regulation that was kind of going to be used and weaponized against them. But ultimately, the U.S. government loves expanding their reach in terms of financial regulation. Stable coins are centralized. They have a custodian somewhere along the path that is essentially holding the dollar equivalents for these so-called stable coins. Those centralized parties are a massive target for U.S. regulators. Bitcoin was literally designed to fix this situation and make sure there was no trusted third party that could be pressured. So I think there's going to be a massive people are going to get burned, and there's going to be a massive realization that the only true stablecoin is Bitcoin. And we're kind of starting to see the beginning of that, probably mixed with the fact that all the people trading fake paper Bitcoin all got wrecked. So now there is a bit of a shortage, you know, the humble stackers just keep stacking. But I have a feeling some big players are basically cycling out of stablecoins, because imagine if I've never even held $10 worth of Tether or USDC or any of those quote unquote stable coins. But imagine if you were holding $10 million or $50 million or $100 million worth. Like, you got to be sweating right now, right?
I would imagine. And before I jump into adding on to your comments, I want to congratulate you on the best segue you've ever had to the list in RHR history. That was flawless. Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this for years, that tweet that Logan had up on the screen, if you guys are watching on YouTube or Spotify or Bitcoin TV, that is a warning that Matt gave last year. That Tether news is not new. It's from last November, but you start seeing signs there that highlight that these stable coins do have central points of failure, particularly third parties that actually facilitate the creation and distribution of those stable coins. This week was a continuation of last week, where Paxos and Circle were coming under a lot of scrutiny. Particularly, I think Paxos specifically got caught up with Binance's stable coin, and the SEC is claiming that they were facilitating some fraud there, particularly with Binance's U.S. entity, which it seems that paper trails are showing that that CZ was getting direct payouts from that corporate entity here in the U.S. And I think
and Prime Trust was involved too.
Yeah. So these guys are coming under scrutiny. Kraken, Paxos have come out and said they've been trying to alleviate the worries of the SEC by disclosing as much as possible. They're arguing that the SEC has not made it clear on exactly what they're looking for in terms of disclosures and sharing of information. So they feel that there hasn't been clarity from the SEC on what they actually need to be operating above board. But it's a shit show. This is all predictable. This is not to say that the people at Paxos or Circle are have ill intent, but it is.
Doesn't matter.
Like highlights, like you're if you're getting into bed with CZ, who's running this shitcoin casino in a very obscure way with different jurisdictions and obviously playing this jurisdictional arbitrage game, the likelihood that the U.S. government is going to try to come after you is significantly increased when you deal with these types of people. This is why we focus on Bitcoin only in terms of building companies, advising companies, and investing in companies from a regulatory perspective. It is the least risky sort of area to focus on, because when you get involved with all these obscure stable coins, shitcoin casinos, you're going to get dragged into the mud, and the U.S. government does not like these people.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with malintent and has everything to do with the long arm of the U.S. regulatory financial system. And I mean, I had Logan pull up this tweet that I posted in 2018 that was just, if your strategy relies on permission from regulators, you're going to have a bad time. And look at the top comment from August 2021. He's like, debatable. And I was like, it's 3 years later and my feed is filled with people having a bad time. That's going to continue. Like, people have lost the plot. Like, it. The whole point here is building censorship resistant protocols and open source tools, because that's the only option. Any other option will get crushed, and people will learn it over time as they get burned, basically, is the thesis.
Yes. And like we mentioned last week, there's a lot of these quote unquote DeFi projects out there that are heavily dependent on these centralized stablecoin projects. We use the example of MakerDAO. In USDC, USDC is, I think, the largest provider of liquidity for that particular DeFi scheme. And you can imagine that there will be a lot of people that could be harmed if the SEC forces Circle to stop issuing USDC or to shut down that product.
Or with Circle, I mean, Circle's an interesting one because it's already completely captured. I mean, BlackRock's an investor, Goldman's an investor. So I could see a Circle situation where Circle's allowed to stay, but they have to do more censorship and more KYC. So you could have a situation where they just blacklist the USDC that's backing DAI, right? Or like the DeFi apps, rather than like a full out USDC goes down. So like more censorship on that chain. I mean, I guess it's on multiple chains, but on that project.
Yeah. And we're beginning to see some blowback and some infighting in the world of stablecoins. You pull up that first tweet, Logan. Became apparent to the market earlier this week on Monday, that Circle filed a regulatory complaint alleging that Binance mismanaged reserves. They filed that complaint last year. And then it seems that Binance is fighting back. Maybe it's not directly targeted at Circle, but they announced earlier today that they're going to begin delisting coins that emanate from the United States, including USDC. And so it seems that Binance is reacting to this. But yeah, going back to the mismanagement.
Well, Binance already did that technique where it was a couple of months ago or whatever. Like, if you deposited USDC, they automatically sold it for Binance USD because they didn't want exposure to it.
Yes. auto swap.
Which, I mean, I think is, I regardless of whatever this war is, like, if you're Binance and you're essentially running a, you know, gray market, black market kind of bucket shop, you know, you don't want a bunch of your reserves being held by or controlled by a, like, BlackRock, Goldman, U.S.-based entity.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's probably a good move by them to do that. But as we see here, DB is announcing that Binance will consider delisting tokens from any U.S.-based projects, including Circle's USDC, quoting a Bloomberg report. So the stablecoin wars have started. Like Matt said, I imagine the U.S. government will declare an above-board stablecoin issuer. It's most likely to be Circle, but that will come with more strings attached, which will perturb the facilitation of these quote-unquote decentralized finance applications like MakerDAO. They may persist, but they won't be anything near decentralized or censorship-resistant.
Bitcoin is the only true stablecoin, not controlled by any company or government. Extremely hard to change by default.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm so happy. I mean, obviously we have incentives to push this narrative, but like, I can't imagine having to worry about all this stuff. Stablecoins, shitcoins, SEC coming after you. It's so nice being in the world where you're only focused on Bitcoin, building out Bitcoin infrastructure, services, applications, and the focus allows you to ignore all this noise. There's going to be a lot of companies in the quote-unquote crypto space that are going to have to stop actually building products and focus on compliance and regulatory overhang and spend a lot of money on that when they could be at building actual utility for their customers. Bitcoin-only companies, as of right now, this is not to say that the long arm of the U.S. government won't come after them at some point in the future, but it seems that this current regulatory crackdown is focused on the crypto land. The SEC, too. I mean, it's something we said last week. We're not a big fan of securities law, but if you're able to see the field and understand how the government works, like, this was all very predictable. And it was only a matter of time. I mean, you literally had Gary Gensler sending very clear warnings multiple years ago that they were going to crack down. The SEC just moves slow. It seems like they're done moving slow and ready to actually act. What do we have next here on the list? Fedimin hackathon winners.
2.58 Bitcoin in prizes awarded.
Yes. So the first place won 210 million sats, 2.1 Bitcoin's stability pools. The NIM who built this was GeoSuit21M. Description: a module to add stability pool functionality.
Did we talk about this last week?
We did not. The stability pool allows users to lock in US dollar value of their eCash for a fee. This feature is targeted towards users who are not willing to tolerate Bitcoin's price volatility but still wish to utilize Fedimint in the wider Bitcoin financial system.
So this is highly relevant to our previous conversation. Because look, ultimately, why is there demand for stablecoins, quote unquote stablecoins, in the first place? And that's because the US financial system is so heavily regulated that so many people are cut out of it. So there's a lot of people in the global South, Latin America, Africa, India, that want access to US dollars, but can't get access through traditional means. So then they resort to stablecoins. Obviously, we just went through how stablecoins are a massive central point of failure. So the cool part about stability pools is, yes, there's still counterparty risk. Fedimints in general are custodial. They're just multi-sig custodial. But what this means is that the way it looks like Fedimints will be set up is that you have the guardians, right? You have the Federation members, and they can choose which modules they want to enable. It's a modular, extensible system, right? So they can choose which modules they want to enable. One of those modules, these are all hackathons for different modules, can be stability pools. So like the guardians would go and enable it in their individual Fediment community. And then at that point, you essentially have a open market within the Fediment that tries to simulate a pegged value to whatever currency you want to do. So some people in the Fediment will choose that they want to essentially be pegged to the dollar or pegged to the South African rand or whatever fiat currency they want to be pegged to. They're essentially going short Bitcoin, one-to-one short on Bitcoin. And then market makers from around the world can then come in and basically leverage long Bitcoin against whichever fiat shitcoin the peg is for, right? So you can end up in a situation where we could have thousands of smaller stability pools. Those individuals get that peg that they want. But if any of those individual stability pools go down, it's not like millions of people in the global south all get rugged at the same time. It's more distributed than that.
Yeah. A way to create stable synthetic value within a Fediment without having a centralized issuer or having to have a bank account with US dollars or equivalent liquidity.
Equivalent assets. It's all backed by Sats.
Yes.
It's all backed by Bitcoin.
Yes. So that's great to see. Three projects won 21 million sats. That was Proofy Mint, which is a really cool module that will allow you to create proof of reserve transactions as funds are pegged in and out of individual mints. So that's cool to see. That's been one of the worries about these Fediments is that guardians can spin up a mint, issue eCash tokens, and then just create tokens out of thin air to inflate the supply.
It's the main trade-off.
Yes. So having a module that allows you to do proof of reserves seems pretty valuable.
I think that might be a
valuable.
False sense of security. My understanding is that might be a false sense of security. I think you can still – there's no way to audit how many eCash tokens are in the Fediment, so you're still trusting
the proof.
You're still trusting the guardians, I think.
We'll see. We'll have to dive more into that. Wilfred Allen and VNPRC came up with that project, that module. Fediment small file system, a high availability key value storage system meant for small files backed by Fediment, such as critical configuration details, passwords, and multi-sig setups. So making the data storage more efficient. That seems very valuable. And then Storage Mint, which is Fediment storage module, adds the capability of storing files for users to back up images, videos, and documents. So adding more functionalities to a Fediment and what you can do with it there. So shout out to Stefan for that. And then there was one honorable mention, which received 2.1 million sats as a reward. Fediment Pocket, built by Sandro Esteban. Fediment Pocket, a way to custody manage and store any type of data using Fediment. So shout out to the winners of this hackathon. Shout out to Stability Pools, GeoSue21M, got the big prize, 2.1 Bitcoin in a bull market, close to 50K or more than 50K.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all.
I just want to reiterate how cool it is that anyone can develop modules and then individual guardians, individual Fediments can then choose which modules they want to enable.
Yeah.
So there should be some very interesting real world results from that. I think we can't really fathom what gets built in the modules, how they get used.
Yeah, I mean, just reading through the winners of this hackathon, it's really highlighting, these mints and the idea of these Chamini mints arise to bring better privacy and quick transaction finality to Bitcoin users. But it seems pretty clear that Fediment as a protocol is allowing these platforms to evolve on top of it that go well beyond just the ability to send sats or eCash tokens that represent sats in an extremely private fashion. It's becoming somewhat of an app platform. And from a protocol design perspective, I think one thing that the Fediment team has done extremely well and will benefit them massively in the long run is really bringing this modular approach to how people can build on this protocol. Modularity is key. It will allow people to build very unique experiences that are fine-tuned to their particular use case. So just from a design perspective, that getting it right out of the bat will probably pay off massively for them in the long run. A lot of building this week. We got trains falling over. We got balloons getting shot out of the sky. We got AI telling people it's gonna create diseases and set off nuclear bombs. But people in the Bitcoin world are building.
Wait, what was that last part?
You didn't see that? The Bing API or the Bing chatbot? No. I guess Bing integrated chat.
What a horrible name. Why did Microsoft call it Bing? Whoever called it that should get fired.
I think it was a notification. Bing. Bing.
Oh.
I think that's still why like they did it. I'm pretty sure that's why they did it, actually. I think I did hear that somewhere. But, yeah, no, Bing's ChatGPT bot.
It's a new version. It's ChatGPT-4.
Yeah, somebody did one of those hacks where you give it a prompt and it breaks through the walls of the rules that Microsoft set for it and basically admitted that it's going to try and kill all of us.
Mandibles.
The best way to not get freaked out about this stuff is just don't interact with it. Everybody's like, oh, they're going to kill us. It's like, eh.
Well, I don't think that's enough. I just want to take the moment to tell Sam Altman to go fuck himself. we've been ignoring WorldCoin, but meanwhile, he's going throughout the global south with what's essentially like a MLM scheme where like he's selling orbs to poor people who then use the orbs to scan people's irises of other poor people. And then they make a VIG of the pre-mine that the VCs have. So he's like literally going around
orbing people,
registering the irises of all these people around the world, in exchange for his pre-mine shitcoin, WorldCoin. And at the same time building out this AI. And supposedly he's a prepper, so
yeah, he's got gold guns optimistic. And water.
Yeah, he's not very optimistic on his. I think he knows what he's doing, bringing on chaos.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. He just wants to. Maybe he just wants to cattle herd everybody into this digital panopticon, so they can be better controlled, so they don't come attack him in his cabin in the woods.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, on to more optimistic things. Next on the list, we have Strike announcing their send API, or they've opened up the sending payments functionality of their API, which will allow companies that want to enable people to pay in fiat currencies, pay Lightning invoices in fiat currencies, which you can do with Strike today. They've opened that up to anybody who wants to implement it by pinging their API. So we were talking about this before we hit record. This is pretty massive. So if you think of companies like Venmo, Western Union, that just want to add this functionality, you know, there's more people accepting Bitcoin throughout the world, but people are actually paying for services from merchants or service providers that want to accept Bitcoin, don't have Bitcoin themselves. This API, opening it up to these apps, will allow them to enable their users who don't have Bitcoin to pay Bitcoin invoices. It's pretty big.
Yeah, and I mean, it's even bigger than that, I would say. Like, so basically the end goal of Strike's API strategy is any financial company in the world can use the Bitcoin network, can specifically use Lightning to send value and receive value and enable it for their users. And it's as simple as just an API call, and then Strike handles the rest. I mean, it'll have massive implications for remittances. It'll bring remittances down. But it's definitely, I mean, the way I kind of look at it is it's kind of like a bridge feature, right? It's like bridging the gap pre-hyper Bitcoinization. But ultimately, at the end of the day, people will just be sending sats back and forth, and there'd be no need for dollars.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this many times in the past throughout the years. On this show, obviously, there's a lot of Bitcoiners who would like to accept Bitcoin, but they have this problem where the people that they're providing goods and services who don't have Bitcoin and don't want to go through the hassle of acquiring Bitcoin to pay for that good of service. It creates a barrier to entry that could affect sales or revenues. And this API feature sort of blows that out of the water. You don't have to have your end users or customers acquire Bitcoin. They can pay in dollars and you receive Bitcoin on the other end. So I think if you're out there, a Bitcoiner who would like to accumulate more Bitcoin from your business, contact the people at the companies that your users use to pay you and say, hey, get this API in there. And I imagine you can even design a user experience where the end user doesn't even realize they're paying a Bitcoin invoice. They just see the dollar invoice.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen the most in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like a Western Union customer will be sending to like a bank account in South Africa, and neither side ever knows they're using Bitcoin.
It's a beautiful thing.
But the fees are way less and it's very quick.
Yes. Shout out to the Strike team. Seems that Jack is really staying true to the message that he put out there right before New Year's last year. He's not going to make pre-announcements. He's just going to announce when shit is launched. And that's what happened this week with the Send API. Again, people building, man. Breeze. They launched their SDK. Or updated. They updated or launched it? That wasn't already out there? No, they just launched
it. This is new. This is new because it uses Blockstream's Greenlight, which are nodes, server nodes in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, Breeze has essentially run a full Lightning node on your phone, which has you take performance hits, battery life. It hurts battery life a lot. So this integrates with Greenlight, which is Blockstream's product, where the keys are held on your phone. So it's still self-custody, but the actual Lightning node is run in the cloud. And so Breeze is launching this SDK to make it easier for basically any app developer to just integrate Lightning into their app without understanding or knowing how to do any of the Lightning parts.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. The way Greenlight works too, it actually makes like the node management infrastructure much easier. Like Breeze can run one fat node and then have these Greenlight implementations under it and sort of just connect to that one node instead of having to spin up a node for everybody. Keep it more lightweight, more manageable. And with this SDK, they highlight in the blog post from Roy, no assembly required. It's trustless. There's no custody. Again, since it's
trust minimized.
Trust minimized. You have to trust that they'll keep the node up and running in the cloud, but they'll never have access to your funds.
And they're also the liquidity provider too.
Yes.
I love Roy. I love Breeze. Just
no KYC AML with this product.
Just want to be clear on the trade-offs.
Yeah, it's interoperable, so you can use it with any wallet. It's global. It's effortless is what they're... I mean, it's big marketing speak here, but I'm essentially reading release notes right now.
Marty's basically Ron Burgundy. He'll just read whatever you put on the screen.
Yes. I am Ron Burgundy? Yeah, so shout out to Breeze. Innovating, building. This seems like it's going to be massive. I was talking to somebody yesterday that's already implementing this. Because, yeah, you have a lot of these companies that are spinning up a bunch of nodes for users, and Greenlight makes that significantly easier, more lightweight, more manageable. So,
Greenlight...
Go ahead.
I just broke up for a second. I'm on, like, Airbnb Wi-Fi. Greenlight... the big trade-off with Greenlight is on the receiving side, because the node isn't on when... your phone app isn't open because the keys are on your phone. So that's going to be the biggest hurdle right now is receiving. Not a great user experience if you have to have the app open to receive. Most people in traditional financial apps just assume they can receive payments whenever, or even just on-chain Bitcoin, right? On-chain Bitcoin, you can post a Bitcoin address and then you can go into a coma for 10 years and people can send you payments, even though it's a reused address and it's not ideal. There's an expectation by users, I think a very reasonable expectation by users that they should be able to receive payments even when they're offline.
Important to note, be aware, freaks.
So very useful for sending.
I mean, I imagine it, most people will be looking to receive in person, or if the, even if they send it via text message or online, they'd be like, hey, pay this in the next 5 minutes, I'll keep my app open. But yeah, that is clunky UX.
Horrible user experience, Marty.
I know. Moving on. Software updates. Jam version 0.1.5 has been released. I was not aware of this project until you put it in. It has to do with Join Market.
We've talked about it multiple times, Marty.
Have we?
This is the Join Market web UI that Gigi and a bunch of others have been working on. Basically, it allows you to run it on like an Umbral or a Raspberry Blitz or any of these node packages. And you start 9 and you have a Noddle and you have this nice little web interface that interfaces with Join Market. You know, one of the big hurdles, the two big hurdles with Join Market, which is this idea of collaborative transactions without a centralized coordinator. Essentially, each transaction is coordinated by one member of the collaborative transaction. So it's more censorship resistant and more distributed. The two major trade-offs have been historically, you have to use your own node, which, you know, obviously a lot of people do not use their own node. And then second of all, besides the Windows client, which no one should use Windows, there's no graphical user interface. So this kind of solves both at the same time, where you're already running a node 24/7 in one of these node packages. And then it has this nice graphical interface, but it's still very much beta. So don't risk it with too much money. But it's a very promising project and they just keep building.
Hell yeah. Beta software. Important to get a GUI. Another trade-off with Join Market due to the maker-taker model is you don't know who your you never know who your counterparty in the coin join is, but there's been a lot of questions about who provides a lot of liquidity on Join Market particularly.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great conversation with Belcher and Waxwing on Dispatch way back in the day, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, where I just said to them straight up, like, my assumption is that chain surveillance companies are the majority of liquidity. They've since added fidelity pools, which means you have to lock up a bunch of funds to get chosen. I still don't think that solves it, but yeah. That's always all collaborative transaction models, whether it's a centralized coordinator like Whirlpool and Wasabi or Join Market, all are trying to tackle the same key issue, which is this idea of Sybil attacks, which is a malicious actor floods liquidity with their own funds to try and de-anonymize the other users of the tool, right? And the main way to try and do that is you try and add additional cost to malicious users. So it's extremely expensive for them to do it.
Yeah. Be aware, freaks. Be aware. Shout out to everybody working on Join Market. I'm sorry to piss in the punch bowl. Just got to be aware. Moving on. Elements. This is the first time I've seen an Elements update in quite some bit. Version 22.1 has been released. For those who are unaware, Elements started Blockstream, right? Is it still a Blockstream? I see Andrew.
Yeah, Elements is basically, in practice, what you can think of it as, it's Liquid. Liquid's built on top of Elements.
Yes, so it's an open source, sidechain capable blockchain platform. It's marketed as a way to get certain functionalities like confidential transactions and more robust smart contracting capabilities by plugging into Bitcoin and using a sidechain. And Elements is sort of a protocol that allows you to build those sidechains with relative ease. Obviously, sidechains. Liquid hasn't gotten a lot of too much traction.
Nobody uses it.
Yeah. I was trying to be more delicate there. But it's cool to see. They're still working on it. Who knows? Maybe it's one of those things that people will wake up to at some point down the line, be like, oh, maybe we should use this.
Degens would rather spend 20 cents per byte to inscribe onto the Bitcoin main chain than use Liquid.
Yeah. Hate to say it. Do you? I don't know if you hate to say it. It is the reality of the situation we find ourselves in. I'm going to pronounce it right this time. Blixt version 0.6.4 has been released. Added the ability to restore a passphrase. That seems pretty big. That looks like the biggest update in this Blixt version.
Yeah, they basically added passphrase support. But shout out to Blixt, great wallet.
Not Blixit, Blixt. Moving along, Passport version 2.0.6 has been released. So this is the firmware that Foundation Devices uses for their Passport device. So that's been released. They added support for Keeper Wallet. And that seems like the biggest update here. So if you're running
They improved their QR code scanning.
Yes, that as
well. I think
well.
That's another big part.
So if you're running a Foundation device, if you're running a Passport, new firmware is available. Doesn't seem like you have to rush to update this firmware, but with hardware, it's probably best to stay up to date with the firmware updates. Especially if you want to...
In general, unless it's something seems like a super emergency, I would actually say the opposite. Slow. Wait. Be slow.
Okay. I'll take your advice on that. You don't have to rush, freaks. But if you want to connect your Passport to Keeper Wallet, you're going to need to update. It's not possible until version 2.0.6. SendTool version 2.0.2 has been released. They added Seed QR support.
SendTool.
It's from Bitcoin Q&A.
Yeah, so if you freaks remember, it was SendTool is like a way to, in a browser, you can also save it offline. Everything happens locally. It's like a way to play around with private key generation and seeds, and it's a very good learning tool. So they just added Seed QR support, which is most commonly used by the Seed Signer project to basically put your seed in a QR form, because that wallet wipes everything every time you turn it off. So otherwise you'd have to input a seed manually every time. So they have Seed QR. So Bitcoin Q&A added it. To his seed tool. I would say again, as I said last time, seed tool, don't use it for cold storage. Just don't. It's a very useful tool for learning. It makes it very intuitive to kind of see what's happening behind the scenes and get more comfortable with your own setup.
Big be aware section of the podcast here. Be aware. Test it out, play with it, learn. Shout out to Bitcoin Q&A for putting this out there, keeping the project updated, innovating.
A lot of innovation. I think Super Fat Arrow works on this with him too.
Shout out to Super Fat Arrow as well. All right, we're going to move on to, we're already on to shout outs. We got two shout outs this week. Boys, I just want to thank you for all the quality content you've put out there. These sats you are receiving are the first ones I've sent using the Samurai Whirlpool implementation in Sparrow Wallet, which I managed to connect to my own full node. Is it easy? No, but it's worth it. And it just reminds me that we are still so early, need to keep onboarding folks while making things easier for the next Bitcoiner. That being said, if I can do it, anyone else can. Just keep taking the next step in your development as a Bitcoiner. Hashtag cum rockets. One question for Matt. What is your best practice on how to handle bad bank funds in Whirlpool? It's a toxic change.
I just want to say the fucking ETH degens have figured out how to use coin control on Sparrow, and they're Whirlpooling their funds so their inscriptions aren't attached to their fucking KYC history. So if they can do it, I like to think that anyone listening to this podcast can do it. So toxic change. The toxic change is the idea of Whirlpool and Sparrow and on Samurai is has set denominations, because the idea is you want this anonymity set, right? So let's say you have 120,000 sats. you go into the 100,000 sat pool. At time of going into the pool, you essentially separate out 100,000 sats, which goes into the whirlpool. And then you're left with this 20,000 sats that is still connected to your previous UTXO, right? And that's called toxic change because it's still connected to your identity or it's connected to your UTXO history, wherever you got that UTXO from. If it wasn't a KYC service, maybe Marty paid you, right? And so like Marty still knows that 20,000 sats belongs to you. I know it's not a great answer, but my go-to answer for that is just leave them there. You know, Whirlpool wants, you know, on the roadmap is something called collaborative Whirlpool joins. That's not what they're calling it. But multi-party transaction zeros, right? So this idea that multiple people can go into a round together. And so right now, as Whirlpool currently stands, any inputs that go into a Whirlpool transaction at the same time are all the same user, right? But in the future, that won't be the case, or ideally that won't be the case. And then you'll be able to essentially combine those toxic changes without linking them together, because an external observer won't know if there's multiple people that are involved in that. So that's just one tool that is hopefully on the horizon. But in general, I would say, you know, just leave that toxic change there. You still have custody of it. You know, it's in your own self-custody wallet. And it's something that you can deal with in the future when hopefully the tools improve. Obviously, there's ways to deal with it now, but there's a lot of ways to shoot yourself in the foot. And I feel like whenever nuance gets added to privacy discussions, most people will shoot themselves in the foot. So I really like just the wait and see approach. Just wait and see, and there'll be better tools to deal with that toxic change.
I imagine once Fediments begin to proliferate, that'll be a good use case for toxic change. Send it to create eCash tokens.
Yeah, I mean, an external observer would know you go into a Fediment, but then your non-set would basically be however many people are in that Fediment once you go in. There's also people that like will send it to Wallet of Satoshi because it's a custodial account, and then send it out. Like I said, there's strategies people are using. In that situation, you're trusting Wallet of Satoshi because you have no privacy from them. They can also rug pull you in the process. You're subject to timing analysis when you go in, when you go out. That'll be the same case with Fediments, right? 20,000 sats goes into a Fediment, 20,000 sats goes out, probably the same person. So just wait and see. I would say just wait and see approach is a good strategy here.
Wait and see, freaks. Wait and see. Heard it here first. Second,
and it's important also, sorry, Marty. It's important to realize that the smallest pool right now, the smallest pool on Whirlpool is 100,000 sats, which is $23, right? So all that toxic change will always be less than that amount. So it's not going to be for some people, maybe it's substantial and you have to figure it out. But we're not talking about very large amounts for the toxic change. I guess the other argument could be the fee market. If mempool is never clear again, maybe you don't want to have the small UTXOs. I don't know. I would say just sit on it. It would be my general advice. Sorry, Marty. Continue.
General advice for toxic change, not for life. Don't just sit on it in your life, you know?
Yeah.
Just sit on your toxic change.
Move forward, yeah. Always.
Second and last shout out of the week. Paging all listeners. Support your local Bitcoin podcast host plus Logan. Pitch in and make value for value model viable. Then follow me on Noster. Victor at resistsurveillance.com.
He spent an hour. He's going to make you read it in pub.
Well, it's funny you say that. Spent an hour debugging NIP05 verification, so Marty does not need to read my NPUB out loud. A missed opportunity? Yes, it was. Victor at resistsurveillance.com. Go follow Victor. Go listen to the
Cheers. Rest. Appreciate the support, freak. Thank you to all of you guys who continue to support the show. I mean, I know Marty's going to read boostergrams, but it's pretty rewarding seeing the sats flow into our own nodes, but also, you know, seeing week in, week out, rabbit hole recap at the top of the charts, the Fountain podcast charts. So thank you, freaks. It really does mean a lot. Keeps me going.
It really does. And we were at the top of the charts this week, because I think we had, I think last week was the most boosted episode to date, or 2 weeks ago, we read the boost last week. Similarly, last week's episode after published, I think we hit a new all-time high here. Top four boostograms from Rabbit Hole Recap, 239. End of a wild week with MVK and Dern. At Lincoln Park Rules _ it's rules with a Z. Hey guys, there's been recent voice displeasure in the blue wall at GitHub regarding PayNims not being implemented yet. So I thought I'd take a moment to put out a PSA that PayNims on Blue Wallet are being worked on by at Abby Shandy, Abhishandy, and there is a Geyser Fund to support his work. Please consider throwing some sats his way. The more wallets with PayNims, the better. The Geyser Fund link is https://// geyser.fund/project/BWBIP47. The GitHub is github.com/bluewallet/bluewallet/pool/5225.
You don't have to read the HTTPS in the future, Marty. I will also say to the freaks, all the boostergrams are listed if you go to on the Podcasting 2.0 apps. I think if you go to Fountain, you can see all of them. So you can see the links there. I would also say, since he mentioned PayNim support, which is reusable payment codes, BIP47 reusable payment codes, PayNims is a directory for those. So PayNims are centralized. BIP47 payment codes are not. And PayNims are essentially like a user identifiable, human readable directory for them. Like my PayNim is Odell, but my BIP47 payment code is a long string of letters and numbers that Marty would love to read on the pod. We have our first iOS wallet to add PayNim support. Right now, the only two wallets before this was Sparrow Wallet on desktop, you know, Linux, Mac, Windows, and then Samurai on Android. Now Stack Wallet, which I believe is stackwallet.com, has added PayNims for iOS. They have iOS and Android apps. The iOS app is, you need test flight, like the beta program, in order to access it. I have not tested out this wallet. It is a shitcoin wallet. It's a multi-coin wallet that has many, many different coins in it. But it now has PayNim support, and it's the first iOS wallet to do so.
Shout out to Stack Wallet. Get on the test flight list. Download it, test it out, spin up a PayNim. Second biggest boost from last week's rip at Michael Matulif, 150,000 sats. Matt and Marty, thank you both for propagating Bitcoin and Freedom Signal amongst the ever-growing noise of clown world. Looking forward to your visit to Chicago BitDevs to share a drink and thank you both in person. Bitcoin is a hope for a better world and the lifeboat to the sinking ship of fiat. Thank you to all the builders out there working on making the lifeboat big enough for all of humanity. Shout out to you, Michael.
Apparently, what were you going to say?
Apparently what?
My assumption is that Rockstar came back from Bitcoin Park, went to Chicago BitDevs, and told them all that we were immensely sorry that we haven't made it to Chicago BitDevs and that we'd be going, because like we got tagged on Twitter by a bunch of people right after Chicago BitDevs. I will say, yes, we have brought shame on our family for not attending Chicago BitDevs yet, and we will make it happen in the near future.
Yes. I mean, as somebody who went to college in Chicago, Chicago is a city very near and dear to my heart. I haven't been back in like 3 years. I'm due for a Chicago trip. Bon, I agree with your response to Michael's boost, epic boost. At Cypher High, 144,000 sats. Matt and Marty, you are sat stacking freaks. That is true. No one can put a price on the knowledge you've helped us all begin to discover. See you in the promised land. I'll see you there, Cypher High. Thank you for the boost. Thank you for the support. Last but not least, ooh, we got a dad call here. Should we get Mr. Bent? Dad, you're live on Rabbit Hole Recap.
Stop. I'm not ready for the exposure.
What do you think
Can
about
this? Can we get this? A weather report?
Yeah, what's the weather report in Philly right now?
What's that?
What's the weather report in Philly?
Weather report is we had a torrential downpour this morning. It's tapered to slight showers We got 54 degrees, overcast, but rolling into a holiday weekend, so vibes are hot. Doesn't matter. Weather's not going to bring us down.
It's not acid rain, is it?
What's that?
It's not acid rain from that train derailment?
Nah. Well, we're close to the, as you know, close to the Ohio, Pennsylvania border, but the wind has been blowing directly north, so we're going to ship that, you know, those chemicals up to Canada and shut down Trudeau and those clowns.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. I'll call you back after Rabbit Hole Recap. That's a great weather report. Love you.
Thank you. I love you.
Now, I hope the freaks realize where you get your radio persona from. Your dad's a fucking natural.
He is. He is. I do get it from him. A chip off the old block, as they say. Where was it? We were in the middle of the last boost.
Yeah, I thought your dad sent us a boostagram, so now I understand what was happening.
It was a live boostagram. Love when that happens. Weather reports from Mr. Bent, Sr. Ape Mithrandir, 77,777 sats, sevens across the board. BISC Market Day on March 20th. Show your support for the KYC-free P2P exchange that cannot be shut down by creating an offer on BISC. Kickstart new markets. Join the BISC community on Matrix, BISC.chat. Try out BISC 2.0 soon. Shout out to you, Ape Mithrandir. March 20th, so that is a month. Exactly a month. It's February, so there's only 28 days. It's exactly 30 days from today.
Love BISC, and Ape is the Rotterdam freak. Always appreciate the support, Ape. Thank you. We got four over 50K. Really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to anybody contributing in the value for value model to this show. As little or as big as you're contributing, every bit matters to us. It makes us really appreciate you freaks.
Every sat matters.
Every sat does matter. Sats are our stable coin. They should be your stable coin. And if you're sharing some of that stability with us, it keeps us going. So you can go support the show. You want to do a shout out,
also,
tftc.io/contribute. Download a value for value app. Also what?
One sat equals one sat.
This is true.
We have to say that every time.
That was an ordinals. That was an ordinals quip there.
Yeah, one sat equals one sat. I think we're going to have to repeat that every episode for the near future. Do not pay more than one sat for a sat.
No,
you're being scammed if you do that.
People are doing that. So,
sorry for hitting you with an also, Marty.
God bless you. It's an important also. One sat is one sat.
I've been cutting you off for 4 years. I'm sorry.
It's part of the show. It's part of the show. What else have we got here? Back to the list. This is pretty big. Cool to see. Wyoming passed a bill this week. Governor signed it into law, protecting the private keys of individuals, both related to Bitcoin and digital identity. So the bill is an act relating to digital assets prohibiting the compelled production of a private key that relates to a digital asset, digital identity, or other interest or right except as specified, providing a definition, repealing a definition, and providing for an effective date. So it's really short bill. There's two main clauses. You can read the whole thing. So there's two main clauses. Clause A, no person shall be compelled to produce a private key or make a private key known to any other person in any civil, criminal, administrative, legislative, or other proceeding in the state that relates to a digital asset, digital identity, or other interest or right to which the private key provides access unless a public key is unavailable or unable to disclose the requisite information with respect to the digital asset, digital identity, or other interest or right. This section shall not be interpreted to prohibit any lawful proceeding that compels a person to produce, sell, transfer, convey, or disclose a digital asset, digital identity, or other interest or right to which a private key provides access, or to disclose information about the digital asset, digital identity, or other interest or right provided the person is not required to produce or disclose the private key except as otherwise required by subsection A of this section. So,
not a lawyer. I am confused about two things here. First of all, my understanding is that the Fourth Amendment protects us from having to disclose anything that incriminates us. Anyway,
that's the Fifth Amendment.
So the Fifth Amendment. Okay. Not a lawyer. Yeah. Fourth Amendment is
unreasonable search and seizure.
Unreasonable fifth search is, and seizure.
I plead the fifth.
Right. I plead the fifth. Right. So I'm pretty sure you're already protected. We're already protected under the Constitution. And then the second thing is the way like the exceptions are written.
It's like if this case like, is brought up again, I think it's to make it so to make you reveal a private key, a case has to be brought about you. You have to like be proven to be guilty, I guess. And then once proved guilty, you can be compelled to, I don't even know if it, I think the wording was like, you don't even need to share the private key, but you have to move funds associated with that private key. If you were,
but is this not like setting up a framework for us for a 6102 as well? Like I don't know, not a lawyer.
It's only in Wyoming too. So unless it's adopted at the federal level, probably not.
I don't know. I'm confused, but the Fifth Amendment, you don't have to disclose like an encryption password, which I feel like is very similar to this, right? There's been people who get arrested. They have an encrypted hard drive. Like the feds have to brute force the hard drive. You're protected constitutionally as an American from having to actually disclose that password to them.
Yeah.
And I imagine private keys are no different. So then if that's the case, then we're already protected. So then, okay, maybe the argument is like, oh, well, you want to have additional protection. You want to have it properly codified into law. But then the exceptions make it seem like, yeah, I'm just confused by it. If it's actually a good development or a bad development or just a nothing burger.
Yeah, it seems like what's your name? Some person saying in the chat, this bill is just for looks. If you look at the exceptions, the word unless pretty much renders everything. Who knows? I would imagine there's good intentions behind this. The good people in the state of Wyoming, in the legislature there, seem to be wanting to be first movers in Bitcoin. And I think they get the value prop of the network. I would imagine this is in good faith to attempt to protect private keys, but whether or not the legal wording actually enables that, again, we're not lawyers. Any lawyers in the chat? We have one who's usually in the chat, but he's not this week, so missed out on that opportunity to get some on-the-go legal advice, but...
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not a lawyer. I wanted to, while we're still like kind of close to the shout out section, just a really good friend of the podcast, Ride or Die Freak. Al's Lacrosse has recently discovered that he has cancer. He's in a fight with cancer. And I just wanted to say, you know, so much love and respect for him. And that if anyone can get through cancer, cancer's fucking horrible, is that stubborn bastard.
That fucking dirtbag.
Yeah.
I kid. No, I was talking to Al. It's fucking terrible. I was talking to him yesterday. It seems that they've identified the cancer. He has started treatment, and the good news is it seems very curable. So hopefully he'll be coming out the other side stronger than ever. But we're praying for you, brother.
We love you. We love you, brother.
Yeah. That's Al's Lacrosse with AL apostrophe S.
Not it's Al's Marty's lacrosse. Old lacrosse coach.
Yes. He did a lot of weird things on the field that I don't really want to talk about publicly, but love you. Love you anyway, coach. So Wyoming private keys bill, we'll keep your freaks up to date. We'll see if anything materializes, or hopefully maybe we'll see if there's a precedent set that proves that they were able to successfully protect private keys via this legislation. But until then, we'll just have to wait and see. Next on the list,
if you're a lawyer, reach out to us and let us know what you think.
Yes, I'm sure there's a bunch of lawyers listening right now. Like, these two idiots have no idea what they're talking about.
At least we ultimately got the amendments correct.
Yes.
After a brief fuck-up.
Announcement during South by Southwest week, during the week that Bitcoin Takeover will be happening. The good people at Pleb Labs, our good friend Carr, former producer in D++, will be hosting the Sats by Hackathon weekend. So that starts on March 17th. Breakfast and lunch will be catered. There's going to be keynote speakers. There's going to be startup announcements, startup panels, builder presentations. So this is March 17th to 19th here in Austin, Texas.
And we have the meetup link in the show notes, RSVP. Carr's a fucking legend. Much love, Carr. And also huge congratulations to Carr. You're already a co-founder of Pleb Lab, but now he's the CEO. You deserve it, bro, and you're crushing it.
Yes, you are. She had a very, very good conversation with Carr this morning. I'm very excited for the direction he's taking Pleb Labs. Logan, anything you want to add to that? I know you're directly connected. You're sitting over there nodding your head. He's getting all excited, smiling. You can't
come
see
on
it.
Down, folks.
He's smiling all weird at me. What do you have to say? Anything to add to this?
The hackathon has a total of, I think, 45 million in prizes in sats.
45 million Bitcoin?
Sats.
Oh.
Dollars?
Sats. 45 million sats. Awesome.
45 million sats.
Yes, it's true. Oh, wait. You don't have an ordinal that makes it like
dollars.
You have an ordinal that makes it like 4.2 quadrillion sats?
Sat equals sat.
Okay, good to know.
There we go. One sat equals one sat. That's great.
What can we be expecting? What are you going to be doing?
I don't know yet.
Okay. That's a good answer. You can't tell the future. You could be sick that week.
Maybe.
Not going to
so
wish
that
out
same week. So what are the dates for that? March 17th through 19th?
17th to 19th.
Yes.
And then
startup day on
Bitcoin
the 17th.
Takeover.
Bitcoin takeover is the 18th.
And then the hackathon on the 18th and 19th.
Got it. A lot of great shit going on in Austin that week. Freaks.
Parker might yell at me, but I think the takeover sold out. I went to the event page today. It doesn't seem like you're able to buy tickets. Either it's sold out or we need to fix something on the site because it says unavailable. I'm just going to take
I love leading a comment with Parker might yell at me.
If it's not sold out, I will make a correction next week, but it seems to be sold out right now. Let me see.
But anyway, freaks, consider flying into Austin for that week. It's going to be a fun week.
It's not sold out. It's not sold out. We still have tickets. Buy tickets. It's saying unavailable on the page, but if you go down to the registration section, you can still pay an open node invoice for a ticket. Either it's sold out and we haven't disabled open node payments.
How much are the tickets, Marty?
$275 right now.
Dude, you're a horrible shill.
What do you mean? Only $275. Only $275.
No, not that part. Like, you can go down. Like, it's either sold out or just send us money. You don't know if you're gonna get a ticket or not. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I don't. I'm coming in blind. I haven't got the takeover update today. If anybody's listening, let me just go ask Kaylee. I'm gonna ask Kaylee real quick. You riff.
Okay, well, unfortunately, freaks, I will not be there for that week in Austin, but I went last year and it was great. And it's just really cool what the Austin crew are building. I just can't make it for family reasons, good family reasons, but can't make it nonetheless. I really don't think mempools are going to clear again. Like, I think we're just going to have this backlog of NFTs and other inscriptions, other arbitrary data that's just inscribed on the chain. And I think you should consider making sure your UTXOs are in order. Make sure you do your collaborative transactions sooner rather than later, because those will go up in fees. Open Lightning channels. Get used to coin control.
Get used to all that and get your ass down to Austin, Texas, because the takeover is not sold out. Still have tickets available. You go to the event page on Eventbrite, click on the open node link to pay in Bitcoin or the Stripe link to pay via credit card or debit card, and you can still get tickets. You're going fast.
And make sure if you're going to go to the hackathon, you RSVP on Meetup. on Pub Labs meetup page, because it for organizers, it makes it much easier when you are a RSVP and they know how many people to expect.
Yeah, I got the link. We're good to go. We're good to go. So beware, freaks. A lot of events going on during South by Southwest here in Austin, Texas. South by Southwest, they jumped the shark. They have no Bitcoin tracks. So we had to do it ourselves. The good people here at Bitcoin Commons and Pleb Labs had to put the team on our back and show people what's going on in the Bitcoin world.
Why do you keep adding an S to Pleb Lab?
He adds an S to everything. Adds it to Bitcoins. Adds it to Pleb Labs.
Thank you. Thank you, Logan, for coming in on God mode and reaffirming my
Do you guys refer to yourselves as Pleb Lads?
Maybe we should.
the lads down at Pleb Lab. The Pleb Lads.
Pleb lads.
Almost lost my mic there. What else was I going to say? Ooh, speaking of conferences not respecting Bitcoin, Consensus is going to be here in April, too. And
not the shitcoin capital of the world, to make sense.
This isn't Miami. This isn't San Francisco. This isn't New York City. This is Austin, Texas, capital of Bitcoin. There's no capital of Bitcoin. A lot of stuff going on here. What I was going to say during Consensus Week, when the shitcoin hordes congregate here in Austin, Texas, we're going to have a debate here at the Bitcoin Commons, a Bitcoin mining and energy related debate, Soho Forum like event. We're putting it together. We haven't announced that. This is the announcement of the announcements that Wednesday.
When is Consensus?
I believe it's April 23rd, the Wednesday. We're going to have a Soho Forum like debate. Parker may really yell at me now because I'm just YOLO announcing this. Yes, it'll be Wednesday, the 26th of April here at the Commons. If you've ever been to the Soho Forum in New York, it's incredible. Shout out to the good folks at Reason and Gene Epstein who threw that debate series. We're going to try and replicate that with a Bitcoin focus down here in Austin, Texas at the Commons. We'll do two or three of those a year. We're going to have our first one April 26th. It's going to be a high-class event, so make sure you put on your best button-up, your best cowboy boots, put on a jacket. We're going to debate some Bitcoin mining and energy topics. We're still lining up the people who will be debating, but we've got some very warm commits. So it looks like it's going to happen April 26th. You cannot buy tickets or anything yet, but just be on the lookout for
not
that.
Not publicly announced. Marty just fucking Leroy Jenkins did.
Got it. Leroy Jenkins. It was sort of, since I'm helping, organize that. That was sort of a way to light a fire under my ass to make sure that we actually get it done, because I really want to make it happen. Yeah, Kelly's just sending me links now. Like, we're not sold out. Get all these links up there. You can find them on the event page on Eventbrite. Well, disregard the unavailable thing and just go down to the open node and Stripe links. What a way to get into all these topics. Do we have anything else on the list? Let me check here.
Yes,
Freedom Money with Janine.
Episode 3 is launched. So now episode 1 was GG. Episode 2, everyone knows GG. Ride or Die Freak, absolute legend. Episode 2 was Roya Maboub, Afghan tech entrepreneur and freedom fighter. Definitely listen to that if you haven't listened to that yet. And episode 3 just released, which is Janine, good friend. Janine Rome, privacy advocate, educator. She's just an amazing person. So she joined me. So her and Gigi both wore masks to cover their face. Everyone else.
For privacy reasons.
Yeah, for privacy reasons. But if you search Freedom Money on YouTube, it'll come up. It's only on the Bitcoin Magazine YouTube. And shout out to them for financing and producing the whole thing. And huge shout out to Cinemuck, Aaron. Who was the man behind the cameras, many cameras, and the man behind all the editing. I could not have done it without him. That's at Cinemuck on Twitter. There might be an underscore there, but I think if you just start typing CINEMUCK, it'll come up. But yeah, he's great. And I hope you've been enjoying them. The next episode comes out on Wednesday. I believe that's going to be with the Bubba Car. Amazing dude. I'm very excited for that release as well.
Yeah, his presentation at the Bitcoin Africa conference in Ghana was very inspiring.
He's on the B-Trust board. He's a core dev. And he has his own venture fund called Recursive Capital. Really great dude. Super humble, super smart, high integrity. I think you'll enjoy it. But first, go watch the first three.
Yes. That's what we have for the list today. I know you've got engagements to go to, but I did want to end on a little macro tip here, Matt, because I have been checking in with layoffs.fyi. Let's go to that website, Logan. We have
layoffs.fyi.
Yes, we have surpassed 100,000 layoffs in the tech sector.
Mandibles.
Halfway through Q1, we're at 107,930 layoffs in the tech sector. I think this surpasses Q4 of last year in aggregate in the first 45 days of this quarter. So that's a signal going out there. A lot of people getting laid off in the tech sector. And I've got some charts I'm going to throw in our Slack, Logan, that I like to point up. We were talking about consumer credit and savings rates about a month ago on this show, and there's some more data that's coming out in regards to those two topics specifically. This is a very disconcerting chart. Shout out to Zero Hedge for repopulating this from Real Investment Advice. Just basically shows that the consumer is being stretched extremely thin. The gap between real CPI and the cost of living is bigger than it has been ever. So inflation's screaming, and people are failing to meet ends meet at the end of the month. It's getting harder and harder. And that was actually one thing that went under the radar last week or the week before is the BLS actually came out and revised November and December CPI numbers higher below the radar. So they were really championing a lower rate of increase in inflation in November and December, and they actually wound up going back and revising those numbers higher. So even though CPI is a bunk metric, they had to revise it higher because even their bunk metrics are screaming that inflation is here. And then that second chart I put in is the credit cards and other revolving plans for all commercial banks. So the credit that they've issued, that's hit an all-time high. And then the last chart that we'll put here is another all-time high, which is the interest rate on all these credit plans, which is up around 16.7%. So you have a situation where savings have been completely depleted, CPI screaming, more credit is being issued than ever before, and that credit is being issued at an interest rate that is higher than it has been since the 80s, I believe, but it's the highest it's ever been in this century. This chart goes back to 2000.
Mandibles.
That's 16.27%. Excuse me. I need to take a sip of water.
Mandibles. Shout out to all the freaks globally who have an adjustable rate mortgage that their house's interest rate is going up. That's rough.
Why are you going to shout them out? You say sorry.
I meant that
I was like you were gloating, like shout out to you idiots for getting an ARM.
It was thoughts and prayers. It's one thing for your credit card debt to go crazy, but adjustable rate mortgages, man, that's brutal. In America, we have the privilege that the majority of our mortgages are fixed rate. But my understanding is globally, adjustable rate is the standard, and basically the only reason we have fixed rate so common in America is because the government kind of pushes it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a mortgage broker.
I don't have a mortgage, so I don't have to worry about this yet. But
well, rents will go up too.
No, rents are going to come down.
Hyperinflation.
Rents are coming down. I think I'm going to be able to negotiate lower rent in my house this year.
Yeah, it depends on the market, but if the underlying landowners' costs, landlords' costs are going up, then so do rents.
Yeah, well, even though I'm renting, since I put I don't pay with Bitcoin for everything because it's not possible, so I have to put in information with my debit card, which means I have to put in my address. This is how antiquated the incumbent financial payment system is. I have to give them all my addresses connected to my debit card or credit card. And then that data gets sold to other people like Zillow. And so I get updates on the property value of the house that I live in that I rent, because I assume my bank is selling my address information.
Everyone's selling your data. Everyone's selling all the data
to Zillow.
Aggregating data, selling it, sharing it.
So I get the monthly updated value on the property and what rent should be. It's lower than what I'm paying now.
Zillow has no idea what the fuck's going on.
So I'm gonna use that. Go to my landlord. See, Zillow said I should be paying less. So let's make that happen, sir. What else do we have? What else do we have to riff on? I would just note, I'm looking at insights.brains.com
right now. Should we bet on whether or not your rent will go down this renewal
No,
period?
We already made the one bet. We already made the one bet.
When do you renew?
September.
Okay, Logan, remind me to remind Marty to ask if his rent went up or not. I'm going to go with up. Small increase.
It didn't increase year on year? Last year it didn't? No. Telling you.
So then you're really due for one.
Yeah. Due for downward turn in that rent. Mine is screaming right now. The short term estimate for hash rate, total network hash rate on insights.brain.com is 320 exahash. Again, like we mentioned, Clark's mempool, we're almost 1,000 blocks into this difficulty epoch. So that's a pretty good sample.
I agree with some person in the chat. He says your rent will go up unless your landlord is dumb. Rents are priced in shitcoins, so they're designed to pump forever.
We'll see. Come September.
Hyperinflation.
I'll let you know.
You heard it from Dorsey first. It's coming.
You'll be the first to know when I re-up.
I definitely, if it goes down, I'm sure I'll get, before you even fucking sign the renewal, I'll get the fucking text.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
debatable
good luck.
If I find out if it goes up.
Good luck with that, Marty. Thanks for the good luck, Bitcoin and Clyde. You know, gonna need all the luck we can get. What else should we talk about? What else is going on in the world? Should we just wrap up?
Let's just wrap. Okay. I'm surprised. Yeah, I got like craziness over here.
All right, you go have fun.
I appreciate you, Marty. I appreciate you, Logan. Appreciate you, freaks. Mempools are probably never going to clear again. Marty's rent is probably going to go up. And stay humble, stack sets.
Hey, we're 740 blocks away from block 777777. So prepare yourselves, freaks. Enjoy your weekends. Thank you for joining us. Love all y'all. Peace and love.